can find the darndest things when you're moving, when you're packing and unpacking your past. Designer Jason Geyer was in the process of getting from point A to B when he stumbled on some old work that he'd done. 10 years ago, he had the opportunity to design merchandise for the new Star Wars prequels coming out. Back then, Jason's company was asked to design dealer loaders, merchandise stores could use as displays and then use as giveaways. The thing was, since the company was not an approved vendor of Lucasfilms, they had to use the original trilogy as their source material. So Jason and his friend and coworker Steve Ross, they were huge Star Wars nerds, their words, not mine, went crazy with the job. Some of the stuff was accepted, other stuff, like the Princess Leia headphones, shaped like her iconic fun buns, didn't make the cut. I would have bought those, I gotta tell you. Jason has posted some of the drawings of the Not Ready for Primetime merch, and it's enough to make a fan drool. He's put this information on his blog, which is where we found it. Steve and Jason join us now. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
Doing great. Jason, so you are a self-described biggest Star Wars nerd around. Just give us, tell us a degree of your fandom.
Well, yeah, first let me do the caveat that I was the biggest Star Wars nerd around circa 1997.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, after this project, I think my enthusiasm waned a bit, having immersed ourselves in it for, geez, like at least a year. I was just a normal fan. I was really big in the toy community. I was a big toy collector and slowly found myself becoming a toy designer, where I met Steve Ross, and we worked on promotional merchandise for a lot of different companies like Subway and Arby's and Jack in the Box. And it was normally, you know, little properties like Smurfs or the regular cartoons, which are fun, no big deal. But when this came on and it was Star Wars, it was really amazing, something that we were fans of, to basically be given a green light to just go nuts.
How about you, Steve? How did you work your fandom into this particular job assignment?
Well, it's funny with these projects, a lot of times you have to do your homework on anything, so you know sort of that palette from which you can paint these ideas. And this one just kind of fell in our laps. Both of us were big fans of Star Wars. It was something we you know, liked, cared about from our childhood. And lo and behold, with those prequels coming out, we had an opportunity to work on it, you know, like some dream come true. So, you know, we dived right into it. And I guess sort of the foundation of it was, you know, wouldn't it be cool if blank?
Right.
You know, or I'd love to see, what would I want? And so it was actually a pretty easy approach.
Okay, Steve, so when you asked yourself that question, what would I as a fan want, give me a couple of examples of what you came up with.
Well, I looked at a lot of Star Wars things, and I thought, well, goodness, what do they look like? How could I use this? If I wanted a beanbag chair, well, wouldn't it be neat if we used Jabba the Hutt as a beanbag chair? You know, or if I wanted some bathroom slippers, well, maybe a big furry Bantha would make good slippers. Or if I wanted a mini fridge, well, let's have Han Solo frozen in carbonite as the door on it. You know, and I would look at a lot of things like Cloud City, and that looked like a lamp. You know, and just different things look like things. Different things would work as something. Some things were funny. You know, I love to use a lot of humor in there, not unlike the Princess Leia headphones.
I would have so bought those when I was 10 years old. And no joke, those would have been on in 2 seconds.
Well, one thing that's interesting about these, what Steve was saying is, when, you know, you read about how the original Star Wars designers came up with a lot of the ideas for the movies, where they'd look at things like a hamburger and get the shape of the Millennium Falcon, or a street lamp and get Boba Fett's ship, we had to kind of reverse engineer that. We'd look at the shape of the item and think, well, what does this resemble in the real world? As, you know, we had the Death Star grill, or like Steve said, the Cloud City desk lamp.
Okay, so who decided that Darth Vader's head looked like a gumball machine?
That was Steve.
Yeah, the little grill on the front of his mouth looks like the little metal door that you open to get your gumball out. And then I thought, well, goodness, I guess the Death Star kind of looks like a gumball, so we could fill his head with little mini Death Star gumballs.
Now, the ones we've been talking about really never even, they didn't get made, correct? So tell me something that you did that ended up actually in some store as merch.
Okay, well, like we said, these were all pitches, and we and they were for the prequels, but we had to use the original trilogy to design against. So a lot of these, I'm not even sure how much Lucasfilm even saw of our concepts. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them got knocked out of the running at the either the Pepsi level or, you know, by our own company, just in figuring out the logistics of what could be made. So what we ended up doing was one of our concepts we proposed was a life-size Chewbacca because we thought that would be really neat to have in your house. And obviously, while they didn't use Chewbacca, they liked the idea of a life-size character, so they went ahead and had us make life-size versions of Darth Maul, Yoda, Jar Jar, and Watto for the prequels.
And you, Jason, had to travel to China to supervise the production of them.
Yeah, normally when you're making a toy or an action figure, you have about 18 months lead time from design to manufacture. And we took this project on so late, we had about 7 to 8 months from design to manufacture of a far more complex project. So with just the time constraints and not being really sure how we were going to make these, since no one had done it before, they thought it best to park me in China at the factories for a few months so I could figure everything out on site.
Did the people in China that you were working with, did they know Star Wars? Did they understand what Star Wars was?
I don't think so at all. I think they saw this as a – they knew this was an odd project to have basically – I'm 6'2", and a pretty big guy. So I towered over all the people in the factory, and I was very much the anomaly showing up every day, this kind of crazy American making them – create strange creatures. I don't think they knew what was going on, to be honest.
Before I let you both go, I need to know from each of you, what was one of your pitches that you just thought was killer? It was going to hit it out of the ballpark. How could someone not want to make blank? Steve, you go first.
Well, I go back to that Jabba the Hutt beanbag.
Jabba the Hutt, the big, slovenly,
yes,
disgusting.
And believe it or not, Allison, I actually we got one made.
You did, yes.
Yes, and sent it to Skywalker Ranch, and it sat there and sat there, and they decided to pass on it.
Well, I saw a picture of it. It's a little scary. I'm not sure I want to put my tuchus right in the middle of that jar of that giant Jabba the Hutt. Jason, what's the one thing you thought for sure would be a winner?
The one thing I thought for sure would be a winner, I didn't know if Lucasfilm would go for it, were the Galactic Game Trophies. Like taking all the creatures of Star Wars and mounting their heads on a plaque on the wall.
Yes.
I thought that would be the neatest thing, you know, to walk in and see that on someone's house. And it would be a way to get one of these huge beasts, you know, in a way, life-size.
Okay, now I know why you guys are friends. Steve Ross and Jason Geyer, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Allison.
And you can find a slideshow of Steve and Jason's rejected Star Wars merchandise on the Bryant Park Project blog.
Hey, don't go anywhere. Coming up next on the show, a huge reservoir of natural gas in the American Northeast has sparked a modern-day land grab. Could you be sitting on a pile of money drilling the Marcellus Shale Formation? It's coming up next here on the Bryant Park Project. From NPR News.